Okay, let's begin reading in verse number 37. We'll read to verse number 43. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Isn't that sad? When you think about it. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say this to me. You know, if people could just see some of those miracles, they would believe. You know, you would think that that's true. But it's not. Look at verse 37 again. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, note this, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Let's not think that God is the reason that they didn't believe, because it says that God blinded their heart. Let's not forget, verse number 38, it says these words, Lord, who hath believed our report? And the implication of that is that they chose to reject Christ. And so their human decision, their human choice was already made before their eyes were blinded. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Would you read that last verse together with me? Verse 43, let's begin. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Yet another sad reality. And so often, people today, even still today, fit into that category. Let's have prayer and ask God to work in our hearts this morning. Father, we need you. We pray that you'd work in us because of your word. I pray that you'd help us to be touched in a way that, Lord, we would know exactly what you'd have us to do. Maybe there's someone this morning who's lost. They need to be saved. I pray you'd work in their hearts. Maybe somebody this morning is hard. They've rejected you. They've not been submissive to you. Pray you'd soften hearts this morning, please. I pray you get glory. We love you. It's all about you, and we want to serve you and honor you. So help us today. Forgive us where we fail you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The Jews here did not understand the urgency of their need of salvation. They argued with Jesus when they should have been listening to what he was saying. They had their own opinions about doctrine. They had their own opinions about truth. And they would not open their hearts to the message of Jesus. And the problem was that now, because of their denial and their lack of willingness to listen to the message of Christ, they were in danger of being lost forever. So, on our trip, we stayed in a house that right behind the house, there was a river. I mean, it was within walking distance. And the weather in the north where we were staying at night in the 40s and the day in the 60s, really nice. And so we kept some of the windows of the house open all the time, which was really neat because whenever it was quiet enough, which was rare, you could hear the river in the back, the stream going along. And so the boys and I, when we got there, were interested. So we hiked to that river, which was really close. There was some brush between us and the river, but we hiked over there to it. And there was like a little area where there was rocks And so you could get to the river really easy. And we said to the boys on that first day, we had this sort of agreement, well, we're going to figure out a way to swim in this before it's all over. We had to get an inner tube, but we were going to figure out how to make it happen. The river was rushing pretty hard, you know, and so a few days into the time away, we had gotten the little inner tube and we got our, you know, our swimming stuff on, and we went to the river and we stuck a toe in the water and a chill went all the way to our head. It was Arctic water. I mean, it was water that was melted from the polar ice caps. I promise you, it was 1 degree above freezing, so I don't know how it was even flowing. I mean, it was cold. But, I mean, we're guys. We're not going to wimp out. So I made the boys go first. And, you know, they're like, oh, you know, and we're getting in the water, and we're not really staying in the water. The grand total of our whole adventure was like 15 minutes. Because hypothermia was going to set in pretty quick. But, you know, we got in the tube, and we're trying to, you know, ride the waves, and we had a rope on the tube so nobody would, you know, sort of go down the stream, because the water was rushing pretty hard. And we figured out one neat thing that we could do is carry the inner tube sort of up the stream, and then somebody, which was me, would be holding the end of the rope, and then they would flow by, and then I would jerk it, you know. And so we just figured out ways to have fun with that. But I did warn the boys that I don't want you out here. I don't want you messing around in the water, because it's dangerous. The water's flowing pretty hard. And what if they would have said, oh, come on, Dad. Stop being a wimp. I mean, Dad doesn't know what he's talking about. He's the boringest dad ever. I mean, maybe they could say something like that. But then if they were to get in the water and fall and then be rushed away, then they would be lost. They would be lost forever. They would have to do that in spite of my instructions. They would have to do that despite my warnings. And that's what the Jews were doing here. Jesus was warning them that they were going to be lost. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to, you know, to have eternal life. But they would not listen to him. They wouldn't listen to what he was saying. And so now, because they were ignoring him, they were in danger of being lost forever. Now remember with me, Jesus had predicted his death. He had said that he would be lifted up, meaning on the cross. And because of that prediction, they would have known that Jesus would soon die and he would be gone. But here's what they didn't realize. They didn't realize that they were running out of time. They would have thought that they had plenty of time, like so often we do. We have plenty of time. You know, I'll get things right with God later. I'll get things settled later. And we think that way. And the Jews thought that way. They didn't understand that soon he would be gone. And it would represent the fact that their chance to be saved would soon be gone. They didn't understand what he meant when he told them the doctrines, the truths of the scripture, or the truths of his, of the gospel. They didn't understand. And whenever he told them that he would soon die, they would have not have understood or been able to make the connection between the Messiah, or Jesus being the Messiah, and that he would die. And so they were confused. And that happens today, where we have folks who are really confused about some of the ways of God. And that list is endless. Some say, you know, I can't believe that God, if God was so loving, I can't believe that God would send anyone to hell. Why would God send anyone to hell? And so people have that question. Would you agree that that's a common question that's out there in the world? If God is so loving, why would he send anyone to hell? But then there's the other side of that question. I can't believe that God would take certain people to heaven. I mean, don't you know what they did? Don't you know what they've done? I can't believe that God would save them. And so we have some over here who don't understand why God would send anyone to hell. And then we have some over here who deny and reject God because they can't understand why he would take certain people to heaven. And so really the point is this, that there are people today who don't understand the ways of God. So that's not a new thing. The Jews didn't understand Jesus' message, and people today often don't understand Jesus' message. The Jews here, the reason that they were confused is because they didn't know why Jesus had come. They didn't realize that they were lost. They didn't realize that they were in darkness, and that they were the purpose of his coming, and that he came not only to glorify his Father, but to offer salvation. In fact, he said that's why he came, to save the lost. But they didn't understand that. They didn't see themselves as lost. They didn't see his purposes. They didn't see where they were headed. And they didn't see that they would soon be eternally lost in darkness. John pointed out how their unbelief was irrational. And unbelief so often is just plain irrational. Look at verse 37. We pointed this out when we read, but note this. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So John, with this phrase, is saying that it was irrational for them to deny Jesus after they had seen him do so many miracles. Now, the word irrational means not according to the dictates of reason. That's what the word means. It also means this, absurd. It means inconsistent with reason or the plain dictates of common sense. Some people don't have much common sense, do they? When we were hiking on a trail in the Teton Mountains, there was this fear that I had, but really a lot of people had, about bears. I didn't have any bear spray, but that's okay because like 500 other people were on the trail had bear spray. And so we just stayed close to one of those people, and it was great. You know, I didn't think much about it, really, until we hit one clearing and we saw a grizzly bear. Like the real thing. By the way, I had watched a few videos, which I would recommend you never do, before going to Yellowstone area, about all the people who weren't prepared and got eaten by bears. So don't watch that video. But I did, so it was there. And so we saw the grizzly bear. Thankfully, it was about 400 yards away on the other side of a lake. And it was the size of an ant. It's the exact size that I want a bear to be. So far away that it's about this big. And there was a lot of people. We were taking pictures and trying to zoom in the camera. And still zooming in, Max still couldn't hardly make it out. It was great. That's how far a bear needs to be. But here's the thing about that bear, is there was a break off in the trail that took you right in front of that lake, and then whenever you go, if you looked at the map, you could see that that trail broke again right on the other side of the lake. One went around the lake, and one went back to the trail that we were on. And so what you could have done, if you wanted to, is you could have hiked on a trail that took you within 50 yards of the bear, if you wanted to. But to do that would have been irrational. Would you agree? There are people who do those kind of things, but to me, they are the people who lack common sense. And they say, well, we're just seeking adventure. No, there's just not a lot of common sense there. That's what's happening. And so what John is pointing out here is how ridiculous the denial of these Jews, their rejection of Jesus. Listen, it wasn't just that they struggled to understand the ways of Jesus or the ways of God. Like why God allows this or why God does this or why God does or doesn't do this. What John is pointing out is that their rejection of Christ was irrational. It lacked common sense. And so often, that is how it is today with people who hear the gospel and perhaps know they need to be saved, but again and again turn away and reject Christ. It's irrational. And so their response here, John points out that it was also a fulfillment of prophecy that Isaiah had spoke of in Isaiah 53:1 and also Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. Now let me show you those and then explain really what's happening, because there's some confusion in the principles that John is communicating here, and I want to make sure we get it right, okay? So look at verse 38. It says that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which he spake. And so what John is about to do is quote a section of Isaiah 53, verse 1. Look at what it says next. Lord, who hath believed our report? And so that's Isaiah 53, 1. Verse 40, look what it says. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. So that's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. So first of all, what John is doing is he's pointing out the human responsibility behind the denial of these Jews. The phrase, Lord, who hath believed our report, implied that they were able to choose to believe or to reject Christ. The problem was that these Jews, sadly, were going to die and they were going to be separated from God for all of eternity because they chose to see the miracles, to hear the sermon, to know their need, but still deny Christ. They chose to deny him. And because of that denial, the Bible then says that he blinded their eyes, meaning God, and God hardened their heart. He hardened their heart after they had hardened their own hearts. So can I say it this way so that maybe we can understand this and perhaps see how vital it is that if God is touching your heart, that you take it seriously and don't deny him again and again, because they would not believe. Did you get that? They would not believe. Verse 39, therefore they what? They could not believe. That's serious, isn't it? They would not believe. Therefore they could not believe. I've done soul winning for a lot of years. Many times I have given the gospel to people who have decided to reject Christ. Can I see the heart of anybody? Can I see your heart this morning? No, of course I cannot. And if I was to sit down with you and I was to share the gospel with you with my Bible open and I just went through and share it with you, can I know if God is touching you or he's not touching you? I can't know that. But I know that the power of the gospel touches hearts. And I know that if you sit under the gospel long enough and enough, then he'll touch your heart. And he'll tell you if you need to be saved. He'll tell you if you're lost. He'll tell you if you need to get to this altar and get it settled. He'll knock on your heart's door. Not only do I know it's true because the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but I've seen it happen. I've seen God touch hearts, and I've seen God slowly break the hardness of man's heart. Some of you are in this room, and you recognize you heard the gospel, and you heard the gospel, and you heard the gospel, and you didn't realize what was happening, but now you do, that God was slowly breaking that hard heart of yours. And eventually, you couldn't stand it anymore. You either had to choose God or get away from it as far as you could, and you turned your heart to him right here at this altar. Praise his name, and that's how God works, and I've seen it happen. But I've also seen where I've given the gospel, and over and over and over again, people have said no to Jesus, have denied and rejected him. And we've already identified it's irrational. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in the mode of somebody who understands the reality and the truth as being common sense. It doesn't fit that. But yet over and over, the rejection. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground to reject the gospel again. Some of the Jews had saw the miracles They had observed what Jesus had done, and they believed. They did have what I guess we could say is common sense. They saw the bear 400 yards away and said, I'm just going to stay right here. There was a belief there. But they still had a problem. And their problem was just as condemning as those that decided to reject Christ again. They believed in Jesus, but still chose to reject Him. Get that. That's even more staggering than those who chose to not believe Him. How could they do that? Why would anyone admit, I believe in Christ, I believe the Word of God, but yet still not turn to Him? Why would they do that? Why would anyone do that? If that's you this morning, why would you do that? 42. Would you look at 42 with me? For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'm sorry, verse 43 is the one I read. Verse 42 does say this. They did not confess Him. You know what that word confess means? The word confess means to agree with or to stand with. Teenagers sometimes have a hard time being around their parents. Why? Because they're embarrassing. Parents can be embarrassing to kids. They don't want to be around them. I want to tell you this morning that that's not a healthy attitude for teens to have, but it does happen. And these believing Jews decided that they would not stand with Christ because they understood that standing with Him meant that they would lose their position in the synagogue. Frankly, they didn't want to, verse 42. They didn't want to lose their position in the synagogue. They didn't want to be, as it says, put out of the synagogue. They wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now let's deal with that phrase, the praise of men. Praise, you know, praise, yay, good job, yeah, praise, right? No, that's not what praise means. The word praise here means approval. And so what they were seeking was approval from men over against or more than the approval of God. And so the teens who don't want to be around their parents because their parents are just embarrassing, it's because they want the approval of their peers over or more than the approval of their parents. The problem with these Jews is that they knew that turning to Christ would have meant that they would have to sacrifice their position in the synagogue. They knew that. Now, for a Jew, losing status in the synagogue was a social death sentence. I mean, it meant that they would have lost their ability to function normally in society. They would have become a social outcast, in a sense, to the community. That would have been hard to deal with. And so they would have been wondering how to deal with this question. What do I do? Do I turn to Christ or do I keep my social status, understanding what it meant? Because they couldn't keep both. They couldn't keep both. Are you sure of that? Well, look at verse 25. Go backwards a little bit. He that loveth his life shall... What are those next two words? Lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So Christ had already pointed out that you can't have both. You can't have your life in this world and at the same time have the kind of life that God wants you to have in fellowship and in service to Him. And so these believing Jews, can I put a quotation marks around their belief? These believing Jews would have chose to follow Christ or would have had to have chosen to follow Christ or to seek approval of this world. Because they couldn't have both. And the sad truth of this passage is that they chose not to stand with Christ because they didn't want to lose that status they had in the world that they knew would be required to serve Christ. And that's what happens to people today. People today still struggle with turning to Christ because it will mean that they will lose the life that they know it, or the life as they know it. And that's a hard thing to deal with. Why is that? Well, we usually like our life. I'm talking about our life outside of God and the things that are out there that we're engaged and involved with that are away from the things of God. We like those things. We like our relationships. We like our status. We don't want to lose any of those. And so turning to Christ means that our entire life will change. Turning to Christ means that the things that I love will change. It means the people that you want to please in this world will change. Everything changes when you turn to Christ. Those of you who've done it, you understand that. I mean, you really understand it. Because it's not just words, is it? You can come to the altar, you can at home, you can anywhere say words, Jesus, save me, take me to heaven, but you know that isn't real. A real thing changes you. You're not the same. You aren't the same. So whenever my heart changed and God changed my life, I remember that. I remember getting saved and not being the same person. Now I was 13 years old, so there's a lot of things about it I don't really remember, but there's a lot of things I do remember. I remember when, you know, I asked Him to save me and the kind of music that I listened to changed. I remember that. Nobody, I didn't have a preacher there. Don't listen to that music. I didn't have a preacher do that. I just did. Like something in there told me this isn't right. I stopped cussing. Nobody told me to stop doing that. And I was 13. Well, 13-year-olds don't say bad words. I did. I didn't say the words anymore. I got away from God. Have you ever done that? Any of you been saved and then you get away from God? I mean, I think all of us, right? If we're saved and we get away from God sometimes. That was me. And I remember whenever He started calling me and working in my heart and telling me, I want you to serve me with your life. I want you to give your heart to me and serve me. I remember when He spoke to me and he was working in me. And I remember whenever I surrendered to Him and He changed my life all over again. I was already saved, but you know, I surrendered my life to Him and He changed me again. It was like all these things that, because I was surrendered to God, that I wasn't okay with it anymore. It just happened because I surrendered. You know, those kind of changes like that are hard sometimes for people. And it might be that you know that you're away from God. It could be that you know you're saved and you know you're away from God. And you've allowed some things to come into your life that shouldn't be there. And surrendering and giving your heart and giving your life back to God and being sold out for Him and being, you know, what He wants you to be, it's a hard thing to do again. And sometimes we go to work and we get around our coworkers, you know. And the coworkers aren't always in the same faith that you are. They don't always believe the same way that you do. And so the things they talk about is things that you don't exactly want to talk about. And the conversations, you know, turn south pretty quick sometimes with some of the jokes that are being told, or you know, some of the conversation about what's happening in their recreation time. Oh, you know what we did last weekend? We did this and this. And they were doing some things that you don't want to be involved with. Or you know God doesn't want you to be involved with. Or maybe we start talking about other people in the workplace. Oh, did you see so-and-so? Or did you hear what so-and-so did? Which, by the way, is gossip. And that kind of thing happens in the workforce. And we know God doesn't want us to be involved with that. Sometimes conversation is between you and a coworker who have children, like you have children, perhaps. And they say, well, I do this, and I raise my kids, and they're telling you how they're raising their kids. And the whole time they're talking, you're thinking, mercy, I don't want to raise my kids like that. And what you'll find out really quick is what I found out when I surrendered my life back to God, is that the kids that I was in high school with were going one direction with their life. They were going a direction that was focused on, what am I going to do with my career? What kind of life am I going to... And they're having all these ambition and all these goals. But then for me, because my life was surrendered to God, I had given myself to Him, everything in my life revolved around God at that point. Did you know that that just didn't just mean that my life was going a different direction than the peers at my school? It didn't just mean that. Here's what it meant. I was different. I wasn't just going a different direction. I was different than them. And being different is sometimes such a hard thing for us to deal with. To stick out. To be the coworker who won't listen to the jokes, or to be the coworker who won't talk about certain gossipy things, who puts a stop to it, or be the coworker who you know, doesn't raise their kids like that. You know, to be the one who is different, it's not always attractive. Do you think it's easy for these kids? You think it's going to get easier for these kids right here? And these kids back here and the teens that are in our room? You think year by year, oh, it's just going to be easier for them to serve God and love God? Nope. Do you think there's that peer pressure for these kids is alive and well today? Of course it is. And they, listen, kids, you get around other kids and they're going to talk about things that in your heart, you know it's not right. We shouldn't be talking about this. This should not be a topic of our conversation when it comes to the anatomy of the opposite gender, or the dating and all the relational things that happen with that. These are the kind of conversations that we shouldn't be involved with, but yet there's so much pressure out there in that area. Did you see that movie? Oh man, it was so whatever. And then, oh, I don't think that God would have me to watch this movie or to be involved with this particular direction. Why? Because God is calling us to be different. And so you're going to have to make a choice. The sad truth is that there might be some lost folks in here this morning that you need to make a choice to turn your heart to Christ or to continue to seek the approval of this world. The choice, it's not an easy choice. But whenever we say, well, I believe in God and I believe the Bible, well, then why don't you come down here and get saved? Well, I'm not ready to do that. Well, what's your belief doing for you then? It's not doing a lot for you. And that was these Jews. They believed, but they weren't ready to turn their heart to Christ because they were seeking, these Jews were seeking the approval of the world and of men of this world over or more than the approval of God. Can I encourage you to do something this morning that you'll never regret? Would you decide to sell your heart out to God? Would you decide to go all in for God? Would you decide to make Him your all in all? Would you decide to stop playing both sides? Would you decide to make your life revolve around God? You'll not regret it. And that's a hard choice, I think, sometimes. But really, if you can answer this question, then you'll know whether you're ready to do this. Ready for the question? Whose approval do you seek more? This world or God? Father, this morning, it might be that somebody was here, needed to hear this, that they might turn their heart to you in salvation before it's too late. It might be that somebody's here who has lived too long seeking the approval of this world and rejecting that approval from you. Pray that hearts would turn to you today, sell out, make you their all in all, would decide to make their life revolve around you. Praise your name, Lord, that you speak to us. Pray you'd work in hearts this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around, please. Pastor, I don't know for sure if I was to die today that I'd go to heaven. Lord sure spoke to my heart today. Would you pray for me? This is really tough, but you know, I want you to at least pray for me. Pastor, would you do that? If you'd raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I don't know if I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Several hands. Just be honest. I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I don't know for sure if I'm saved. Will you pray for me? Anyone? Pastor, I did not raise my hand a minute ago, but I should have. Pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. Anyone? Say, Pastor, I've allowed this world to get the allegiance of my heart. And I have now allowed myself to seek approval from this world more than God. And I want to get right. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? You're saved. You just need to get right. Thank you. Hands all around. Thank you. Well, let's have a time of prayer. Thank you. And we're going to stand here and pray, and then the invitation's going to open. If God touched you, if you are lost this morning, you want to get it settled, you just come to me. We'll get it settled. If you're saved and you just need to get right with God, you just come down, and it's you and God. You and God, just get it right. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of prayer, and the invitation will be open. Father, we pray for invitation, that your blessing would be during this time. I pray for the lost, the saved, all that need you today. For you'd work. In Jesus' name, amen.